Some time ago, I heard of a director of a football club from one of the lower divisions talking on radio about his dream of bringing European football to a stadium. His new management team were committed to bringing about that golden day, which was promptly forgotten about some months later when the team were sacked after a string of bad results. In a culture addicted to success, the dark side is that lack of success, otherwise known as failure, leads to a blame culture. We maybe don't sacrifice humans to the sun gods anymore, although in Scotland that would not be a full-time industry, but we certainly sacrifice people on an almost daily basis on the insatiable altar of success. Sometimes folk need a reality check, because what we're wanting and what we can reasonably expect are two very different things. But our addiction to success even pervades religion, even the kirk. So we need a reality check here as well. Sing the old hymns and we'll fill the pews. Preach hellfire and damnation and the nation's morals will improve. Give people cast iron certainties. Proclaim a black and white moral code. Then there'll be an end to all this wishy-washy agonizing about people's rights and the liberal agenda. Implicit in all this is we want success. And success is defined as a full kirk or chapel, even if the last time it happened was when the local regiment was marched there under orders or the cheery factory owner commanded all his workers and tenants to be there on the Sunday or be homeless on the Monday, because that's how it worked sometimes in days gone by. Those golden days often came at a price. Colin Morris, former Methodist missionary and television producer, once said, "Sometimes throughout history, the church has been aglow with power and influence, and the power behind the throne and sometimes the power on the throne has had a shriveled heart behind all its glorious vestments. And other eras," he said, "have seen the church laid waste, its buildings ruined, its priests dead or in hiding. But in dark cellars and in upper rooms, Christians gathered secretly to pore over the scriptures and to break bread together." Our definition of success and God's definition of success can sometimes be very different. We like quick fix gods and get rich religion. That's just how we are. Meaning we like faith to be a kind of insurance policy against the unfairness and chaotic randomness of life. But faith can't be like that. Not if faith is to be authentic rather than some kind of sanitized, fluffy pseudo-spirituality. How can it be all cozy and cuddly and warm when our leader, our Lord, finally hangs broken on a cross? After all, that's where our journey will take us between today and next Friday. How can we look for cozy, cuddly, fluffy religion when in all his stories and in his teaching, Jesus constantly poked fun at the powerful and the privileged and spoke frequently but ambiguously about the last being first, the poor being rich, and so on and so on? I think we have to redefine success, what success means for Christ's church and what success means in Christ's kingdom. Success, for instance, is a distraught or tired or lonely person being able to walk into this sanctuary during the Christmas tree festival in the days before Christmas simply because the doors are open. And maybe she is the only person that comes in that day. And the folk who are on duty that day may say, "Oh, there's only one person." But the peace and stillness and the whispered promises of God are able to wash over her so that somehow when she leaves, she is ready to cope. That's success. Success is half a dozen people of senior years nattering away like a flock of starlings, and it's maybe at a summer strawberry tea at the Kirk Centre, or it's maybe just the Hub Cafe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. But those half dozen folk are laughing and interrupting each other and telling stories and joking and listening. For some, it's one of the best bits of the week, because often their days are quiet and their homes are empty when once they've been busy and bustling. And while they do not want and would not thank you for anyone's pity, they enjoy the get-together over cups of tea and scones, and somehow at the end of the day, things seem better. That's success. Success is one of our elders spending time in someone's house, just listening, accepting the cup of tea, swapping small talk, and knowing not to excuse himself or herself when suddenly the conversation goes serious. And then managing to find a few words of a prayer at the end which reminds both of them that they live daily surrounded by God's grace. That's success, and not a soul to see it. Success is mum and dad seeing their 5-year-old daughter go to school for the first time because she's strong and healthy, unlike their first two children who were picked off by illness in infancy and lie buried at the back of their simple hut, which is their home. But this one, the bright-eyed daughter, she's strong because she's been able to eat well and regularly, and she got her jabs when she needed them because there's now a doctor in the village. And all this is possible because her father is a farmer and tradecraft by her goods, by his crop. And her mother makes simple jewelry and tradecraft by her earrings. The income is as good as anything you could get anywhere else. More important, the income is regular. It's promised. It's constant. It gives them a toehold in climbing out of the poverty trap. And his crop is part of the box of cereal you buy here on a Sunday. And her earrings are the gift you bought for your niece last Christmas. That is success. Every story, every image is of the kingdom. A success story without the fanfare. Forget about how big it is, or how bright it is, or how much it costs, or how fast it goes. These are false measures. Success in God's kingdom is frequently measured by a different rule. And when Christ sets his face towards Jerusalem and tried several times to explain to his loyal but slow to understand disciples what was going to happen when he got there, he was saying to them, and he was saying to us, that a crucified God has the right to redefine success. The standard Christ calls us to in this kirk is very different from how the world measures success. The standard Christ calls us to is to be measured in multiples of one, because people come in ones. Our ambition is to let our lives and our church be inspired by the compassion and courage and sacrifice and ultimately resurrection of Christ. That is success. But it's success on God's terms. Glory be to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen.